The Veteran Podcast is back. This is Joe Stone, and this week the Department of Defense ordered a force-wide stand-down, a U.S. Army helicopter crashed, the VA pushes out COVID vaccines, and more. Then, last but not least, I'll provide my thoughts about the protest and attempted insurrection at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
You are listening to the Veteran Podcast, a podcast digging into important veteran-related topics, news, and resources. Here's your host, U.S. Army veteran Joe Stone.
All right, so it's been a while since we had an episode of the Veteran Podcast. When we last left off, Jimmy and I sort of did an introduction and kind of left it at that. We had a series of wildfires out where I was living at, and it made it really hard to breathe and let alone talk, and so it kind of paused, and one thing led to another, and nothing happened for months. So I'm going to try to get back into this, even if it means going solo for a little bit. So I hope you just bear with me, I guess, while we work through this. So let's get into the news. Department of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ordered a stand down of the entire U.S. military over the next 60 days in order for commanders to address extremism within its ranks. According to Press Secretary John Kirby, the January 6th riots at the U.S. Capitol was a wake-up call, and he echoed the Defense Secretary's earlier statement when he said, "It's not an insignificant problem, and it needs to be addressed." On Tuesday night, an Idaho National Guard Black Hawk helicopter crashed in a mountainous area west of Boise during poor weather conditions, killing three soldiers on board. Around 8 p.m., 15 minutes after losing radar contact, a rescue operation was launched after getting notification that a rescue beacon had been activated. The helicopter and crew were located around midnight, nearly 4 hours after the crash, and recovery efforts continued into the following days. U.S. Army safety investigators have launched a formal investigation, but is not expected to be concluded for several months, at least. Victims' names are being withheld until after the families have been notified. More than 1 million coronavirus vaccines have been administered by the VA in the last month and a half, according to a recent report by the Military Times, with nearly two-thirds going to veterans with the highest risk of complications. The VA is administering doses at more than 200 locations across the United States. For those looking to get vaccinated, according to the VA's website on the vaccine, they are asking veterans to not call and schedule, and that they will contact the veteran instead when they are eligible. More information can be found at va.gov. There will be a direct link in the show notes. Bill H.R. 845 was introduced on the House floor Thursday by Republican Lloyd Smucker from Pennsylvania, which would authorize the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to waive copay requirements for hospital care and medical services for some veterans. The bill was referred to the House Veterans Affairs Committee and was co-sponsored by a half a dozen Rust Belt Republicans. The text of the bill was not yet available as of Friday morning. An Air Force veteran and businessman in Northern Virginia pled guilty of fraud and making false statements on Wednesday after being awarded $38 million in federal contracts and then failing to provide N95 masks during the pandemic to the VA and FEMA. The government didn't lose any money on the masks, however, because the contract stipulated that he would be paid on delivery. He was also convicted on an additional two other schemes. One, for submitting fraudulent business loan applications for COVID relief that totaled more than $260,000. And the second, for illegally obtaining more than $70,000 in VA benefits after he claimed he served in the Marine Corps and received multiple commendations. So normally at this point of the podcast, I would go into an interview segment or some other sort of important segment that kind of supports some of the previous stories or something else that's going on. And I'll have an interview this week. We've had a pretty strange year, recent history. It's been kind of a little rough here in the U.S. Politics-wise, been a lot of stress. A lot of things going on that, I don't know, parts of me don't really want to get into, but I think it's important that we talk about. So let's talk about the insurrection. Was it a patriotic event? I'm going to say no. It wasn't. Some people may have thought it was patriotic, I guess, that they were doing it for the right reasons. But patriotism is not fighting your country. In fact, it's quite the opposite, right? You may say you're doing it because you love your country, but if you love your country, get involved. If you don't like the way politics are going, if you don't like the way laws are going, get involved. Run for office. Just do it locally. In fact, most of the laws and stuff like that that affect us are done at the local level, state and local offices. Those are the laws that affect us the most. not the ones at the federal government. Of course, those might trickle down a little bit and affect us in some sort of ways, but generally they don't. If you want to get involved, you want to see change in this country, do your civic duty, like when you raised your right hand and you served our country. Do the same thing. Serve your community. Will it be easy? No, of course it's not. Our military service wasn't easy, right? So get involved, make the changes, be the change that you want to see in this country, right? But we need to start, it needs to start from the ground up. Because to tell you the truth, when I watched that, the insurrection thing, live, I turned the TV on, and my son was sitting on the couch doing his schoolwork, and I turned it on because the vote was happening, right? The vote was happening to certify the electoral votes from all the states. It was an important part of our civic process. And because it was made such a big deal about it, it was a big thing in the news as well. So I turned the TV on so we could watch the end of that. And lo and behold, we got more than we bargained for. Of course, people began to protest. However, that quickly devolved into violence. It wasn't long before they're pushing the barriers. People were fighting and cursing out the police that were there guarding the Capitol. And that was strange, too. I remember watching that, too, and thinking, like, there is way too little security at this place for a known, around a huge event, you know, it was a huge event going on inside of Congress, and the president was holding that rally, you know, a half a mile on the street. I know that was known. It wasn't like a big secret that it was going to happen. Everybody knew about it. It was going to happen for weeks. So I was kind of shocked that there was very little security. I was even more shocked to see people so violent towards the Capitol and then start smashing windows. And it wasn't long before we started hearing reports of people getting killed, which is sad because this was completely preventable. It was not necessary. It changed nothing. Literally, those deaths changed absolutely nothing. So this brings me back to my original point. If you want to see some sort of change, sure, speak about it. Protest. Violence is not the answer, which is, might sound strange coming from a military veteran, right? There's a time and a place for violence. During political events and places for civic discourse are not the time for violence. It's not. Violence should be a last resort, a very last resort, right? Some of you, like myself, also served in other countries during your time in service, and you may have witnessed sectarian violence while you were there and thought, what the hell are these people doing? These are people in their own country. Why are they doing this? And it seemed completely foreign, right? And I agree. It's a crazy concept to think that killing your own countrymen, or any human being for that matter, is going to change anything. Look, I don't know what the answer is. All I know is we need to set the right example as veterans, right? We raised our right hand. We swore to defend the Constitution of the United States, which allows for Congress to make rules and laws, right? All of that fits under the Constitution. If you are fighting that and physically seeking out violence against our country, you are not a patriot. And I'll leave it at that. Anyways, I'm Joe Stone. This is the Veteran Podcast. We'll see you next week for some more veteran news and some in-depth conversation. Until then, make sure you find the Veteran Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And hell, you can even find me in some of those places as well. If you want to contact me, please reach out via email. You can email me at joe@theveteranpodcast.com.